Nature has a way sometimes of reminding man of just how small he is. She occasionally throws up the terrible offsprings of our pride and carelessness to remind us of how puny we really are in the face of a tornado, an earthquake, or a Godzilla.
It must be nice to just kind of close the shade on America and get to turn away.
It's okay. Yeah. It's not the worst thing, but it does like, sure. It sucks though, because I have a lot of American friends, and it's also just like a very sad reflection of the world in general.
Yeah. And it's also that thing where it's like, it's like, oh, I like to ignore the neighbors up until the point that they started making knife bombs, and then it starts to affect me, you know.
Yeah, you guys can't call the police on the on the noise next door. We're done,
because the noise is Bruce Springsteen, baby.
It's Toby Keith, and that's what makes it bad.
Yeah. He loves this bar and hell. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights on the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Toby Keith. Nope, I'm Sam Wiles.
And Sam, why don't you introduce our guest this week?
Oh, if you're at all a podcast head, you know who he is. He hosts Block Party, the best and only podcast about people getting in fights on the internet. It's John Cullen.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Sam, for acknowledging that we are the only podcast to do this, and that we didn't get our exact podcast concept stolen by right-wing grifters
who are making
double the money off of it that we are. So,
oh my God, is that true?
Yeah, you never heard of this? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I love thinking about right-wing grifters. I was friends with Benny Johnson in high school.
Oh,
that's
no
a
way!
Weird fact about me. Uh-oh. Yeah,
actually.
We were neighbors.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he used to give me a ride to football practice. Yeah.
Okay.
They used to hang out until he started making knife bombs.
That's crazy.
Talk about pulling the shade on your neighbors. Woo.
Yeah. That's what Benny calls memes. He calls them knife bombs. You know, that's how he communicates. He's like, I'm knife bombing the left or whatever.
Yeah. I'm filling him up with Chuck Norris shit.
Real lib shredder last night.
Yeah, exactly.
The meme minds.
It's these two like very deplorable people. You might know them from the internet, Jesse Single and Katie Herzog. Jesse Single used to write for, I want to say, like the New York Daily Post or something like that. And then Katie writes for the like arts and culture newspaper in Seattle.
Okay.
And they're both like, Jesse was very famously wrote an article, a very transphobic article for The Atlantic, where like the whole premise of the article was like, you know, we shouldn't let kids be trans. Like, they can't make up their mind. They're not old enough to like make up their mind about that stuff. Sure. So we probably shouldn't, you know, we probably should just let them be what their gender is until they're old enough or whatever. So anyway, yeah, they're both pieces of shit, and they have a podcast called Blocked and Reported. Yeah. And we kind of got in a fight with them when it first started, because we were like, oh, this is just like exactly like our podcast.
Holy
and then they
shit.
Were like, oh, sorry, we didn't recognize that like there was another podcast. Sorry, we didn't, you know, figure out that there was another shitty podcast doing the same thing or whatever.
They immediately went on the offensive about it.
Oh, big time. Great. Yeah.
That's bad.
And then we checked back in like a month later, and their Patreon was like $18,000. Stefan and I were like, okay, we should be, let's move to the right wing. Let's be right wing guys.
It is funny that I do think there is space for just anyone's podcast and then the terrible conservative version of it. That would be funny if there's like we did Serial, and the point was that it was good to arrest that guy because he was brown and we liked it.
There's Fight Island, and then Ruin the Country for Years to Come Island.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's definitely, no, I think yours would be like would be, it'd be like Battle Peninsula or something. Yeah. Like that. Like,
well, hey, like, our Patreon episodes are called Scuffle Peninsula.
Oh, well, there you go. So you've already, so that's smart of you.
Ourselves.
You've
already we're really conservative on the Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's the smart way to do it. You leave all the right wing stuff in
we're
there.
We're absolute psychos on there.
Well, get this. So we couldn't have possibly imagined in a million years that when we started a podcast about playing who would win in a fight between silly things with some funny people, that actual UFC would start an island where people are going to have fights and try to call it Fight Island. We get, and honestly, it hasn't been a thing yet. The most that happens is we get some crossover traffic. If you guys are listening, thank you so much for
stopping. Yeah, exactly.
We get tagged on Facebook like crazy. We get a thing that we are not Facebook, active on. Twitter. We get so much run on Facebook.
Oh, that's good.
Guys here, that think we're...
Hey, how about that Habib fight on Saturday? Yeah, there you go. Now I'm keeping them all on the show for you. Yeah. I'm keeping them all for you on the show. Wow. I mean, what a legend. Is he the GOAT? Guys, let's talk about it.
I truly like when we get tagged on Twitter, because then I just get to go in and be like, who do you guys think would win a fight between Dracula and the Mummy? And then we have to talk about that. Anyway, regardless, this is actually going to be launching post Fright Island. This is all month we've been doing spooky themed episodes, and now Halloween has come and gone. As we all know,
I turned 35.
It'll be a totally normal day when this drops, the Monday before the election.
Yeah.
And so we're all doing good.
All's perfect. Fine. The ritual went well on Halloween. Joe Biden now has four arms and antlers, and that's going to help somehow. Point being, we're not fighting any spooky things. We're into November, which it could be argued that Bigfoot is November. That's a different thing. But John, you are a teacher on the surface world.
In the yes, exactly. Not in the seedy underbelly of the internet, but in real life, I am a teacher. Yeah,
your non-pod skin is teacher skin.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So,
we figured we would fight teachers, famous teachers from history, pop culture, whoever pops into your head is a famous teacher. The way this goes down is it's basically a big game of who would win in a fight between, for any John heads popping in. We do a lightweight, a middleweight, and a heavyweight. You know a lightweight when you feel one. You know a heavyweight when you feel one. And basically, it's video game rules, so men can fight women, old people can fight gay people, babies can fight dogs, whatever needs to happen. So I guess the question is, who do you guys think of when you think of a lightweight teacher from history or pop culture? I would even say a teacher, as long as we all know them, you know?
I got one. And I feel like this is almost inarguable just because of how she's named. And it is... a lot of people may not know, but before Saved by the Bell, there was a short two-season show called Good Morning, Miss Bliss, which featured Zach and Screech and Lisa only, from who ended up on Saved by the Bell. And it was more centered around the life of the teacher whose name was Miss Bliss. And I feel like just right away, that's just a very lightweight name.
Oh yeah.
Totally. Miss Bliss is great. She's right in that area where everybody knows her, the remembering of her. You're like, "Oh yeah."
She got Urkeled harder than anyone before Urkel she got was
squeezed,
a thing.
She got squeezed out.
Squeezed out of your own show is such a weird fate, and it happens every once in a while, and it's
Was in it. It was the name of the show. Yeah, and she got squeezed.
That's maybe the most severe version of that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. And especially I act in commercials sometimes, but I'm not really an actor. I'm just mostly a comedian. But you know, I know enough actors where it's like, you know, I feel like that's when you think you got it made, or you're like, well, they named the show after me. Show after me. There's no way they're canceling.
Or at least not building it without me.
Yes,
entirely.
Exactly.
And then these fucking kids come along. These handsome children from the 90s, this new breed of indigo children.
Yeah. Like an 11-year-old with like a 80s Wall Street shark vibe. And then some weird nerd who would grow up to be the weirdest adult ever. You know, Lisa. She's fine.
And then there's Lisa.
Who
true.
We've never thought about more than once.
No, Lisa has a strange and crooked path too. She like went down some kind of dark, I want to say drugs or maybe like severe conservatism.
She just had a bad, no, I think you're the severe conservatism. I think you're conflating her with Stacey Dash.
Yep, Stacey Dash.
Which Clueless, I think is, who
a,
is
Stacey
nuts.
Dash is a bridge into another suggestion of a lightweight.
Please.
Yeah. You guys know Mr. Hall, Wallace Shawn from Clueless?
Yes, there you go. Absolutely. I mean, Wallace Shawn. I mean, what a guy, you know?
What a guy. Jordan does also a killer Wallace Shawn.
I can do a decent Wallace Shawn.
Whoa, that is very good.
That's a very good Wallace Shawn.
Most people say that. They're like, you know what? If you're going to get into impressions, the first guy you should cross off the list, Wallace Shawn.
Everyone's always talking about him. That's why
you're talking about him. They remember him. I think we can all agree the best thing about impressions is when you have to explain who you're doing an impression of for quite some time before you do
especially
it.
Especially if you're doing it for a whole 30 minutes on a show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Just repeatedly trying to say, inconceivable! So the people will be like, oh, right.
Oh, I think I remember that.
My fucking dinner with Andre jokes pearls before swine, guys. I was down in the dojo working on my Wallace Shawn for about 3 months, just shouting phrases.
Down in the dojo.
I like that. That's a good, I mean, that feels like a matchup. I don't want to miss any lightweight.
Yeah. It might be hard because there isn't a ton of information about either of those people.
Oh yeah. We're throwing out as many as you want.
Please
throw as many as you want. And then we'll kind of pick the matchup we think.
Okay. So I would say another lightweight to me, even though he was a guidance counselor, not a teacher, Mr. Rosso from Freaks and Geeks.
Feels like
a lightweight to me. He's tall but gentle.
Dave
he's
Gruber
that great
Allen,
character
yeah.
actor. Yeah,
Dave Gruber Allen. Yeah, he's great. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
What about Gabe Kaplan's Mr. Cotter?
Yeah, that's a good one too. He feels maybe more like middleweight to me.
Yeah, he's maybe a little more significant. I mean, he is like there have not been a ton of successful teacher sitcoms, and he is the kind of one of
sure. But even then, it wasn't about Mr. Cotter, you know.
Yeah, it was about Travolta.
The Sweat Hogs.
Oh man, you're watching it for young Travolta. You're watching him get in there, sliding around, being Zach Morris. It's great.
For the Sweat Hogs.
Another lightweight that comes to mind for me is Miss Grotke from Recess.
God, these
great.
Are good.
Yeah, these are solid.
You know, again, another very like zen, another very zen-like lady, I would say.
Yeah, these are a lot of sweethearts. Miss Frizzle is maybe a...
Yeah, Miss Frizzle.
Miss Frizzle is, I mean, she's got magical powers. She's a middle, maybe a heavy.
Okay, yeah, because there's also, we get more mystical as the weight classes go up. We got to save her.
That's
I'm going to tell you right now, I have a pretty mystical battle in mind. I won't reveal it, but I would like to say two more entrants for lightweight. Jack Black in School of Rock.
Oh, he's my middle. Yeah, I think he's great.
I was going to say he'd be a middle, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, what about Mr. Feeny?
Mr. Feeney's a great one for me. I love that as a light.
As a lightweight? Okay. You guys are the experts. To me, Mr. Feeney feels like Wiley, you know, because it's funny. I'm actually rewatching Boy Meets World right now with my girlfriend.
Oh, really?
And I think I've totally missed this when I was a kid, but like Mr. Feeney talks about how he like gets pussy a lot.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, like just low key, but like he is a dog. Like there's at least, I would say like at least three jokes a season where he'll be like, well, I'm not dead, Mr. Matthews.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever.
I know my way around a clitoris, Mr.
Yes,
Matthews.
Exactly.
He opens the dildo cabinet. They all fall out.
Yeah, totally. That is what it
Mr.
feels
Hunter?
Like.
Yeah. My girlfriend also loves Boy Meets World, and I got her a Will Friedle cameo as part of her birthday present. He delivered. He like tons of enthusiasm, like a great cameo.
Okay,
I can
guys,
see
I,
it.
I gotta say, we're getting a lot of energy out of Mr. Feeney. I'm gonna go ahead and say that there's a lot of teachers. I think we can slip him into lightweight.
Okay.
What about Feeney versus Bliss?
Feeney.
I mean,
that
they feel the same type of energy.
Yeah,
to
they
me.
Do.
Even though Feeny's more of a principal, it's the same. But they still Feeny still teaches while he's principal, which is also a weird part of Boy Meets World. In the first season, he's only a teacher. And then they move to high school in the second season. And he's now, for some reason, the principal of the high school, which as a teacher, I will tell you, never happens.
Yeah, like, sure.
It is extremely rare that an elementary school teacher becomes a high school principal or vice versa. It's usually you have your 10 years experience as whatever level you teach. And then that's you become a principal at that level.
And principal is like the principal is like the top. No one's like, I mean, maybe superintendent, but that's like one person.
Usually, I mean, usually you'd have a vice, like you'd start at vice principal. Like you certainly never go from teacher to principal. That never happens. Right. So you'd be vice principal first.
That you can become a principal by saving the life of a principal.
You know what?
It's Santa Claus rules. You have to kill him.
Oh right.
Yeah, you got to kill him first, and then it's it's covered by the same Rose Such a Clatter Company or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, you got to put on those principal shoes.
Rose Such a Clatter Company. They run it all. They've been running it for years. You know, it's like one of those things that doesn't really make a lot of sense. You're like, why is a ladder company in charge of this whole principal thing? But
and then the principal always just winks and touches his nose. You're like, what is that?
There's a whole principal ladder deep state that we don't have time to get into, but it's going to get us in trouble on that other conservative podcast.
On Squabble Isthmus.
Yeah, there we go. Good.
Okay, I'm locking it in. Who would win in a fight between Miss Bliss and Mr. Feeny? Now, I'm gonna come. You're right, John. They do have a similar crafty vibe to them. Mm-hmm. They seem like the type of person you want teaching your kids. You know, they're not gonna hit them, but they're gonna teach them an elaborate lesson that.
Yeah,
ends they both with them teaching themselves.
They both set like a lot of like moral traps.
Yes, exactly.
Like, they're big on like quandaries and setups.
Sure.
It seems like.
Yeah.
What?
That's for sure. I would say is this just a fist fight? Is that what we're talking here? Do they bring weapons to the fist fight?
I think that's a good question. And I think that this would be a fight that takes place in Fight High, which is a school on the island, and they both wake up there in their classrooms. Mm-hmm. And then they have to kind of like, you know, make their like hunt one another through the school.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's naked in a pit, which sometimes it is, but that's
sometimes it's naked in a pit.
This fight for it to be intriguing has to be strategic.
I'm going
to
say just for flavor's sake, this is not to the death. This is to the pain. Let's say until one of them, until one of them gives up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause Feeny, like one of his main weapon would be his garden shears. You know, he loves, his gardening. Oh, yeah. So I was like, if he has garden shears, I mean, this could be a quick,
is there a quick world battle. Halloween where they think Mr. Feeny did murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is an, okay. Sure. That I didn't know maybe I dreamed that, but I think that is a real episode.
Well, and he also, okay. So I think like a quick strengths and weaknesses breakdown of the two fighters here. Feeny has big serial killer energy.
Totally.
Miss Bliss has big, fucking awesome aunt energy, and not awesome aunt who's like secretly an alcoholic. Awesome aunt who like lets you come stay at her place when your parents are secretly alcoholics or something. Yeah. You know?
Yes. Yeah. No. I would agree. Like I think in a way of like if it's sneaking through the school strategically, like that feels way more of Feeny's domain
that feels
to me,
Feeny.
Especially principal wise, right? And also. Yeah. We have to consider for people who are listening to this that haven't watched Boy Meets World in a while. There's like a very funny thing where, and it's like it's just kind of a bit. Like it has to. They had to know that this was like kind of a bit. But the main set features the hallway of John Adams High. In the immediate foreground are Sean, Corey, and Topanga's lockers. They're all three beside each other. Mm-hmm. Then to the right, there's like a short staircase that leads down a hallway we never go down. To the left is Mr. Turner or Mr. Feeny's classroom, whatever it needs to be. And then the door on the right changes constantly. It has been the custodian closet, the principal's office, the boys' room, the girls' room, the home of the radio station, this high school radio station, you know, because we all had those.
Yeah.
So
what a budget.
So to me, it feels like Feeny's got some kind of shit going on where he can just like, you know, this door warps you to like wherever you need to be.
Yeah, it's a real Schrodinger's classroom situation. It's just wherever you need to go. I almost feel like that's like, okay, if we're going off the deep end here, if we're going into Fight Island Teachers the video game, I'm seeing Feeny as like when he is given the rank of principal, like every principal knows that you can – once you're principal, you can open any door in the school and come out of any other door in the school. Mm-hmm. And that's like his Mortal Kombat 2 ability is like a screen teleport. He's behind you. He's punching you. He's coming out of doors he didn't enter, you know. I mean, Feeny is he's panning out to be a terrifying combatant. I'll say it.
And he has like a continental accent, which is fucked up. Like anytime you're like, they're not British. That's not what it's like to be British. But he's from
Massachusetts, I think. He's like, it's like a Cape Cod accent or something. I don't know anything about
America. It's a bit of a Frasier. It's a bit of a Frasier.
Frasierian. Oh, wait. I remember. I learned what this is called. Boston Brahma.
Is that it?
That's what they call it when you talk like this.
Oh, my God. That's I didn't know it had a name. Bro. I thought Frasier like, invented it.
You know how there's like a transatlantic when you're like, pass me the tomato sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather. Or whatever. Yeah. That's another one. Anyway, I feel like we got to do, because Miss Bliss at this point is going to get steamrolled by a fucking teleporting Mr. Feeny with garden shears. What are some strengths and weaknesses on Miss Bliss?
I'm going to get out ahead of this. And I know we're thinking it. At least people who are listening to this are thinking it. Miss Bliss is kind of hot.
She's kind of hot.
Yeah. For an older lady, she's kind of hot. And
good looking guy.
I feel like I have a real advantage here because I'm like literally in the middle of rewatching Boy Meets World. But
sure.
Feeny, the women that he is shown to go after in the show, I mean, they're nowhere near. I mean, Miss Bliss is, I mean, we're talking points ahead of these women.
She's the perfect honeypot.
She is the perfect honeypot. And so I think that has to be considered, you know, and her main thing, her main weapon is disappointment, right? Like that's her that's the whole Miss Bliss thing, right? She's just disappointed in Zach. I'm just so, you know, so I could see like, you know, Feeny kind of warping into like the classroom she's in and she's like, oh, George, are you warping again? She has an Australian accent, right? I think, or like,
is this a Fight Island? Are we on Fight Island again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's Australian. I can't remember. Let me look it up.
Nor I. But
I feel like that is Australian.
That feels like, and I also feel like you say, you know, Feeny's one of these kind of armchair gentlemen, you know, like a suburbs fancy lad.
Yeah.
So I could see him like, you know, teleporting in and being like, I have to fight you. And then she turns around and is like, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. You know, and then
he's big on decorum.
He lets that politeness get in the way of what should be a knockdown, drag out throwdown here.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
She is, sorry to interrupt. She's English and she's also the daughter. Okay. She's the daughter of Sir John Mills. I don't know if that's a big guy or not, but you know, again, that decorum that we speak of.
I mean, she's got a bloodline going back in British history, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's a tough one because I could see Feeny being like conniving, but like I say, also wanting to like, you know, get a bit.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I can also see like, honestly, if this was Naked in a Pit, if this was just like, get in there and fight, I'm giving it to Miss Bliss. Cause I feel like
she's also sprier. If we're talking about her in the show,
Feeny probably smoked for years. He's probably riddled with phlebitis. And she gets a hold of that mustache, you know, that mustache, that's a knee to the face handle.
I think we should lock it in or we should, but we should vote.
Okay. Who are you thinking?
I'm going to give it to Bliss because I think if they both are allowed a child army, hers is more hormonally devoted. They will fight for their hot teacher in a way that Corey's like, he's my weird old neighbor. Where look, I know they love him long term, but in the moment, Slater, if they're the young Yeah, if they're a young child army, I believe Zach is more conniving.
This is the first mention of the child army. And if we're talking child army, if we're talking devoted child army, Slater alone is going to mop the floor with the
kids.
Was
Slater in Miss Bliss?
Slater wasn't in Miss Bliss. It was Screech, Lisa, and Zach.
Oh, shit, you're right. Well, no, but they never even met.
They never met. Slater came later.
Zach and Screech is actually pretty even.
I think so too. Yeah, Corey and Screech, same hair energy, same, they are both weak
Sean,
as shit.
Sean would look up to Zach. Zach is cooler than Sean.
Yes, in a way, but then Sean also, he's definitely played in Boy Meets World like he's tough because he grew up in the trailer park.
He's scrappier.
And he's like, he fights in the show, like he fights multiple times. So like I could see... Zach doesn't really have that. I mean, Zach and Slater fought that one time, but Zach is Zach is more of a don't touch the merchandise kind of thing. Sean's a little bit more like, I'll fuck you up.
I have a packet full of broken glass in my pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
I ground it up. I'll throw it in your eyes.
Yeah.
I was tipping towards Miss Bliss. Because I think anyone who crosses the ocean and moves to another country has a certain degree of maritime fight in them. But honestly, I think it's just, boy, Mr. Feeny just has body in the basement vibes. And I could see him winning and then like, I could see him, you know, like sneaking a weapon in or something or like.
Yeah.
Those shears and that door just together, I think, make him the perfect. I think he'd get away with it too. But it wouldn't be to the death.
All right, John, you're the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything Jordan said. I think Feeny takes it. It's unfortunate, but I think ultimately he takes it down. Because he could also have some energy where like Miss Bliss denies him and then.
And then it's all terrifying.
Agreed. Yeah. Exactly. Time. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. You know what? I'm going to change my vote. Feeny. So it's a clean sweep because I just realized they're on the same net. They're both on ABC. No, one was NBC. One was ABC.
Yeah.
Miss Bliss disappeared. There's a chance Feeny did it. There's a universe.
Wow, good chance. Good try.
There's a universe where that's her fate. I mean,
holy shit. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
5 years later, he shows up as principal.
Feeny, the Slayer. Feeny, old
Jigsaw Feeny.
Old Felinus Feeny. takes it. Ding, ding, ding. Lightweight round. Okay, middleweight round. Fictional teachers, historical teachers, teachers of note. Who are you thinking?
I got a heavyweight in terms of good fighter.
Go ahead.
John Kimble, detective from Kindergarten Cop.
Fucking
wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a big time heavyweight right there.
He knows what he's doing, and you know, the kids taught him more than he taught them.
Who's a teacher who could possibly stand up to John Kimble?
That's heavyweight we're talking.
Middleweight.
Yeah, this is middleweight. But I think you're right, Sam. I think culturally speaking. He would be a middleweight because it was just that one movie. Boy, we loved it.
Yeah.
But I can't even think of who would dare step in the ring with Detective John Kimble.
Well, there, one teacher I thought of, there was a very short lived show on TV. And it was, I think it was only one season. And I think I'm the only person on earth who ever watched it. It was called Mr. Rhodes. And it was the comedian Tom Rhodes. And the main, the main smart ass kid was played by the same actor who played Goldberg in the Mighty Ducks movie.
Sure.
He just had kind of like a hippie long hair kind of vibe. It was a pretty funny show. I liked it. He would be a middleweight. I also think Mr. Turner from Boy Meets World is a potential middleweight.
Mr. Turner is like a tough guy guardian type.
Yes, exactly. Where he rides a motorcycle, wears a leather jacket, you know.
What about Mr. Miyagi?
Ooh.
Fighting prowess is a
karate
teacher.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's the John Kimble foil in that he's a different style
of
fighting.
Dude. Well, yeah. See that I feel like that even jumps it up a different bracket. That's like a see now it feels like
yeah,
an
to me
easy,
that feels like the heavyweight fight.
Yeah, that feels like an easy win for Mr. Miyagi because John Kimble, you know, bless his soul. all he's got is some his guts and a gun. He doesn't have,
but he's got Arnold training. Power. I mean, he's insanely strong.
I guess so. Arnold will rip the world in half someday.
Yeah. The older he gets, the stronger he gets. It's weird.
He's turning to wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Geez.
That's a tough.
What if we just have a pretty substantial middleweight?
I like it. I like it because honestly, I think. Okay. Do you want to hear? This was what I was thinking for a magically powered battle, and I think we can separate these two into our middle and our heavyweight right here. I was going to say Miss Frizzle versus Professor Snape.
That's pretty good. That's a good. Yeah, okay. That's a good matchup.
Yeah, I like that one. That's definitely more magical based for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, they both are, and they both are very much teachers. I was going to say maybe Indiana Jones because he's a professor.
Whoa. Okay. Okay. Well, we fought Indiana Jones before. Is this okay? Is this?
Have we fought Indiana Jones?
Sure. Indiana Jones fights everyone, man.
I guess I forgot our episode.
All where the Indiana we did Jones's only fight. Only things named after Indianapolis, and he crushed. I mean, he won so well.
Yeah, Sam, it was
unbelievable. He also won the Harrison Ford characters episode,
which is an
episode where people who replaced statues with rocks.
Multi-hyphenate whip-toting archaeologists. Yeah. Was on.
Yeah, he won the co-stars in a movie with Shia LaBeouf. episode
people who are played by older men with earrings. That's a
yes,
good one.
That's a big and
versus
people love
Ben
that
Kingsley
episode.
Role. Yeah,
I know people talk. They're still talking about it. They're like that was crazy. Guys who wear fedoras. He was in is huge.
The fedora. Big, oh my
I guess
God.
It's I guess it's technically like a Panama hat. It's not really a fedora.
It is more of
a
Panama right. hat. You're right. Yeah, I've run into that.
Tough
piece
one.
Of trivia.
He also won the episode where it was characters played by actors who have a first name that's a last name of U.S. presidents, and people thought that was too convoluted. Mm-hmm. But I honestly thought, and he actually has two. Nuanced... Both of his names are former U.S. presidents.
Yep.
And that was also one of my favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford. I have no idea.
But... And you'll remember he was prominently featured in the Indiana Jones's episode.
Yes, so, that's exactly. I mean, that goes without saying. That was episode one. Everyone remembers that.
Lightweight child Indiana Jones did not stand a chance.
Yeah, Indiana Jones Jr. That was a show, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
In this one, but I will say, how about this? How about John Kimble as played by Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Dr. Otto Octavius, Dr. Octopus?
He is also a teacher. If I think we're going to skip just one more middleweight because I feel like I'd feel bad if I didn't say him, is Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what I think.
Does he teach as well, or is he only just the coach of the football team?
Man, they never show him in a classroom, so I think he maybe is just a coach. But I remember in high school football, all our football coaches had to teach with varying levels of enthusiasm.
I mean, in Canada, we don't take high school sports that seriously, so we would never have a situation where you would just have a coach of a high school team. Mm-hmm. But in America, that feels like a thing that they might do.
Yeah, I think you do that in like Texas, like where there's like money for it or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
he's a coach then by that same merit. I was going to say Principal Skinner. It's a principal.
Also principal. Yeah. Mr. Belding, principal.
Yeah.
Mr. Belding.
Okay. I think that would be
a really, you want to talk about a fight that wouldn't even start. Principal Skinner versus Principal Belding. They just get a Coke.
Getting flattened by your own demons before you even get in the ring.
Yeah, that's true too.
The voices of mother.
Do you want to do as our middleweight fight? Principal Skinner versus Mr. Belding. I think that's pretty good.
I think that's funny, and I think we should do it now.
I think, sure. I don't think we can fly past that
one. A special
principal's
round.
Right?
Yeah,
that's fair.
They're educators, right? Yeah.
And do they get to split Walton Goggins and Danny McBride as their vice principals? Is it a tag team match?
Yeah, it's 100% that.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cool.
Okay. All right. So we've stumbled upon the perfect middleweight fight. Who would win in a fight between Principal Skinner and Mr. Belding? Also of Saved by the Bell theme. Very Saved by the Bell, heavy episode, but I'm okay with it.
Hey, it's one of the most teachery things in the world.
Truly. And Belding. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Belding.
Go ahead.
Big strength for Belding, lasting power.
Hmm.
He's played Belding for a long time. He was in Saved by the Bell the New Year's. Yeah, I think in the college years they call him or something on the phone.
Oh yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still does open mics.
He does.
So I've heard he's a fucking weirdo.
Oh yeah, I've heard that actor is like a horny guy too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying weirdo, but that's what I meant.
Yeah, you meant sex weirdo. That's the guy you're talking about.
I mean, I think anytime you've got a former children's show actor who's now in his late 60s doing open mics, I think when I say weirdo, we all know what I mean.
Also, that's what a weird flex to go into the dating scene with in your back pocket. I was Mr. Belding. Oh, the useless cuckold from Saved by the Bell. Yeah. Cool. Get into these pants.
The guy with a dead trout instead of genitals, we all assume.
Hey, do you know where they got the nickname the Big Bopper for me on the show? I'll show
you. If you could just hear it, there's just women shaped holes in the wall.
It's because I like it when people punch me in the penis during sex. Wait, come back.
I know Mario Lopez.
We can call him.
He lets me FaceTime once a year.
Oh shit. Okay. Strengths and weaknesses. Let's do strengths and weaknesses for these characters. Big strength, like you said, for Mr. Belding, staying power. He's up every morning at 5 a.m. for a brace of gin and to brush his teeth a few times before he goes into school. I do think he's also, I will say, sweetly naive to a point, almost a Bill Dotrieve trustingness to this guy. Yeah. Like, you know, for sure people are smuggling cocaine into America through his fanny pack or whatever without him
none the wiser.
That feels like a big weakness. But also, Skinner's pretty naive. Skinner's, I don't know if he's going to capitalize on that, but Skinner has military training.
That's the big thing, right? Like, that's the big thing right there.
Yeah.
He's Armin Tamzarian, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. How much is he embracing Armin Tamzarian?
Furthermore, he is Armin Tamzarian. Boy, honestly, Belding is going to have to pull off a fucking miracle to beat this military trained street tough from the streets of Capital City, who is also a chameleon who puts identities on
like so
hats.
Committed to something, he's living a lie. That is so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the same as going to open mics.
It's also, I think Skinner has a more powerful office. Again, Saved by the Bell had a very Boy Meets World problem in that they only had one set, which was a hallway. Yeah. And much like the Boy Meets World set, the classroom that every single one of their classrooms took place in was across the hall from all of their lockers. And on the other side, the principal's office was just a single 200 square foot room that was in between two sets of lockers. Very common way of having a principal's office in a high school.
So are we saying that Belding is possessed of the same, the Guild of Principals gave him the door walking abilities?
I don't think he's like cool enough to use it.
No, he's so not. Crafty. Yeah, no, I don't think he has them at all. Cause in a lot of Saved by the Bell episodes, the kids just get into his office like willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Like it just,
anytime they need to.
Oh, I need to go get, I need to go get Slater's file for this plot device. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll just walk into Mr. Belding's office. He won't be in it. Anyway,
he's never there. It's never locked.
And he will sometimes buzz on the, he has like a little buzzer on the desk where he will talk to a secretary. I don't know where she is.
Yeah,
I have
where
no
is
idea.
She between your, and who is your office opens on the hall, dude.
Yeah. It opens in the hall.
It's also in an office, you call someone. You don't just have a butt. Like what kind of weird like intercom
it's a Black
system
Mirror
is he
situation.
Have?
He shrank down his secretary into kind of an AI hell, you know? I think big weakness for Seymour Skinner here, because honestly, it feels like we're walking Belding into the meat grinder here. I feel like we're gonna fucking see, deep jungle Vietnam Skinner come out. I think we're gonna see fucking Armin Tanzarian's knife and maybe his copy of Swank make an appearance. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna see some true. Because remember, in the first like few seasons of The Simpsons, the gag for Skinner was that he was psycho. He was Norman Bates. And like mother maybe didn't exist.
Yeah.
But therein, I think, squats his greatest weakness, his mother.
Yeah, cutting his feet out.
I think Belding, being a creep, would try to date Skinner's mother.
Sure. She's like, Agnes is horny.
Oh, yeah. Agnes
is horny. She's going to go for it. I mean,
she fucked comic book guy. I mean, Belding is an improvement on comic.
Simpsons was on too long. That's how you know, is that Agnes fucks comic book guy.
Or not long enough. Finally getting to the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The Agnes fucking comic book guy years actually get pretty good.
Yeah, Agnes they get pretty good, and then
boxes now.
It got weird like a couple seasons ago with that whole like eating ass arc, but like
I thought it was good.
Yeah,
I thought
it was good. It was very topical. You know, everyone appreciated it.
Yeah, really the low point is season 17 through 21 when we don't know who Agnes is fucking, and I think that's a big problem.
I think we can all agree.
Homer disappears for 7 days. When he shows up, someone has eaten his ass. Okay. I think that honestly, that's the way I see it going down. I see him like doing push-ups for days, training for Fight Island. He's like, no, mother, I have to be at Fight Island next Tuesday. I can't do silhouette night or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Seymour, come meet my new boyfriend. And it's Belding. And then Belding spends the week prior to the fight courting Agnes Skinner, making loud sweet love to her so Skinner can hear. And then when it comes down to the fight, Skinner, he just hears that squeaking. He hears the clinking of Mr. Belding's wristwatch in his.
Does Belding like do the laugh when he comes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Of course he does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I figured.
Oh no.
So that's all ringing in Seymour's head for sure.
Yeah.
I'm locking my vote in for Belding, weirdly enough, because I think this scenario tracks.
Here's what I think happens. I think Belding's big mistake is not knowing when he's not wanted. He doesn't know when to quit. He's doing open mics. He's doing Saved by the Bell, the 90th class. There are warning signs. He should get out of the Skinner household. Armin is starting to come out. Seymour is sharpening knives in the kitchen.
So you think this does happen, but it drives him.
Skinner's delusion is such a specific mental condition that it's fragile. You can't break it. You can't.
That's a really good point.
And I think he comes up behind Belding, snaps his neck, puts Bart's shorts in his mouth.
It doesn't remember any of it. Yeah. Armand did it.
The body of a principal with Bart Simpson's shorts in his mouth.
I knew that boy would kill.
I feel like I side with Sam here. I think Skinner takes it. I just think that there's just a darkness to Skinner that Belding just doesn't have, you know?
Belding's
just,
darkness is lame.
Right. Yeah.
You guys are right. His darkness is literally like sleeping with a bottle of gin next to the bed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not sniper training. I think you guys are right. Ding, ding, ding. Principal Skinner takes it in the middleweight. I guess this is now an educator's.
Exactly.
Off.
They had to be teachers at some point.
Yes. Are they in a building that says school on the front? Well, then they count.
Yeah. They're teaching lessons. They're teaching lessons.
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, Belding, I think has the reach on him. I think he's got us. I think if you were to take off that Belding, that horrible navy sport coat, you would see like the gaunt long arms and the ropey body of an orangutan. But I think that
he's got Grinch bod. Right. He's got a real Grinch bod.
He's got Grinch bod, big Grinch bod on this dude.
Yeah.
But I do think, you're right. I think there's just no, you know, push comes to shove. Skinner will snap.
And they're the same age, and Belding was for sure like a draft dodger.
Absolutely.
Yes, no question.
He has big draft dodger energy.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, I think I saw Mr. Belding in a British Columbia border town.
Yeah. Is this you in this picture?
Yeah. What's going on here? You know. Yeah, there's a town in BC called Nelson. Which was like essentially founded by draft dodgers, basically. Like it existed, but like it was very, very small, and like a large portion of that community is people who dodge the draft because it's like not even an hour from the U.S. border.
Yeah, yeah.
I
want to see that picture, Mr. Belding with a big beard and like a straw hat, a joint.
Yeah, he looks like Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I totally. Yeah, I think that, and also too, like Skinner's shredded, right? Like whenever his shirt comes off, like he's yoked.
Yeah, they also make him Flanders. I mean, they just go, he's shirtless, he's ripped.
He's yoked, yeah. And Belding is not that.
Belding is not.
They're not, but there, I got to say, there is a desperate strength in that Grinch bod.
For sure.
That Grinch bod gets a hold of you, they don't drown you.
I don't think it's like a puddle. I don't think it's like an absolute walloping.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's a closer fight than we anticipate, but I think Skinner just over, like, you know, they say, like, people will say that. They'll be like, yeah, but no one can beat me in a fight because I'm really tough. And, or like I'm crazy. Like, I'm crazy. Yeah. And so no one can beat me. It's like those, you can definitely be beaten if you're like that, but it does make it much harder to beat you.
Very much so.
And I think that's kind of what's going on here. It's like Belding would be like, no, like when the big bopper comes out, I mean, there's no stopping me, you know, but it's like, but yes, there is, you know, like, you know, my dad is 5'5" and bald and like in 62, and he thinks that he could beat up anyone at any time. And it's just like, you know, and he always will cite that, like, oh, well, you know, I just go crazy. And it's like, yeah, but dad, like, if you fought a guy, like, he weighs like 130 pounds. Like, I'm like, if you fought a guy that was 6'2", 230, like, you're gonna lose. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter how angry you are. This guy weighs double what you weigh. You're gonna lose.
But I'll tell him I'm angry. He'll get it.
Exactly.
I do. Yeah, I think you guys are right. Ding, ding, ding. Skinner takes it. He's got the vibe of somebody who's somebody snapped the knob off in Vietnam. You don't want to go. Yeah. You don't want to go playing around with the switches.
Yeah. You can't. You can't unring that bell.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah. Hey, there it is. Okay. Podcast over.
That's the title of Skinner's autobiography.
Okay. The fight we've all been waiting for all year, I would think. Probably some people for multiple years. The heavyweight battle, Educators, Fight Island. Who do you think of? Who are your heavyweight educators?
I mean, I loved Frizzle and Snape. I thought that was great. And then Indiana Jones was my other one. And then I also had Socrates. I don't know anything about him.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm not going to act like I have a bunch of Socrates facts in the chamber. I
mean, he had that method. You love that.
Yeah. Socrates would jiu-jitsu.
He would beat you by confusing you, for sure.
That's true. It does seem like the type of thing where he would, like, talk you, like, he would somehow convince you to the point. He would get you mixed up to the point where when you swung a punch, it would punch yourself in the face. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be like, so why do you think it is that you shrink the bus?
What do you wish the bus was? Your worries?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I mean, Socrates was, by all accounts, just a real wimp. I mean, Socrates would just absolutely get annihilated.
He had to invent thinking because he was such a wiener. He didn't want to get beat up anymore.
He was. And he sexually, you know, he laid with all the young boys.
Yeah, that's true.
He had that whole thing going on.
Which is funny because now a platonic relationship specifically means you're not banging the young
boy. Well, they weren't banging. See, and that's the thing, Jordan, is they weren't banging. What happened was that not to get all Socrates on.
You're going to be on that other podcast. They're going to get you being a sicko.
But it's what they would do is Plato would lay, or well, in this, who knows? Okay. I don't know if it was Plato, but like a boy would lay behind Socrates, like in a spoons position. They would be the big spoon and they would put their penis in between Socrates's legs.
Sure.
And then fuck like the thigh gap essentially.
Ah, okay.
And so that's why it's like a platonic relationship because you're not having sex. You're just like, it's just whatever. I just put my penis in his thigh gap.
Also, for sure, Socrates was like, oh, yeah, that's the thigh gap for sure.
Yeah. Well, he posted about it all the time on Instagram. So don't even worry.
Okay.
About it.
So, do you guys like that? Cerberus Snape versus Miss Frizzle?
Like, it's funny because it feels like basically all the teachers in Harry Potter could be, you know, like Hagrid is a big time heavyweight.
Yeah.
Big time heavyweight, McGonagall. I wouldn't fuck with her. Mm-hmm. You know, Umbridge, crazy, Moody, crazy. Like, I mean, there's, you know, you could
Dumbledore's a teacher. I mean, he's yes. more of a principal, but
again, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? So yeah, once you said Snape, like I hadn't even thought of Harry Potter, but then once you said Snape, I was like, oh man,
sure. Yeah. yeah.
You know, there's
a whole damn school of them.
Yeah. But I do like the science v magic mashup.
It is the
science. That's a good one.
It is definitely yeah. science fiction versus magic.
It's real.
Yeah. No, I met that chameleon. I like it. Unless you guys can think of another heavyweight. I mean, Kimball was good.
John, I'm out of heavies. Do you have any heavies?
No, I mean, I think those are all really good. I'm trying to think of,
Hey, we could also dip back into the well and do, we could do, Mr. Miyagi versus Miss Frizzle.
I like mystical versus crazy sci-fi all right, let's powers.
Do it. Yeah. I'm locking it
it's
in.
Too good.
Yeah.
Question
we'll do
before
it.
Us. Heavyweight fight. Who would win in a fight between Severus Snape and Miss Frizzle of the Magic School Bus fame?
You know what I'm just realizing right now is like Miss Frizzle had extreme yoga teacher energy before I even knew what that was.
Yeah, I'm just totally.
Like, oh man, oh, yeah, incredibly. Like headband, really, like mm-hmm. crazy curly hair. I don't know why that's a yoga teacher thing to me, but
She also has like the energy of like, I don't have a significant other. I'm polyamorous.
Oh,
she's never like never tied down, always experimenting, if you know what yeah. I mean. But also with friggin' Krav Maga with shrinking down and going inside of a child's intestines with space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She knows it all. She's a jack of many trades, if you will. Whereas Severus Snape, it's all magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Snape is scarier for mm-hmm. sure. He's got that sure. very, you know, you'd be afraid to take him on, but I think Miss Frizzle would just kind of be like, oh, I love your robe. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. She would have she'd be like, oh, why the frown, Chancellor downtown or something? You're like, all right.
I guess.
You're rhyming and stuff. You're like dancing around. Oh, you're going to change the windows into blood vessel. That's fine, I guess.
I think the big weakness for Frizzle is that a lot of her power is in that bus.
Yeah.
It is it's not the
where Snape
magic,
is inherent.
It's not the magic substitute teacher, is it, Sam?
No. No, yeah. But does she have some kind of weird Knight Rider symbiosis with that bus where she's the only person that can control it? I don't,
yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think so. Am I remembering this wrong, or was she always doing like crazy athletic moves?
Big
like, I feel like she was always doing like backflips and shit like that.
Yes, she was capable of inhuman feats of strength. She definitely appeared to be some sort of extra planar demigod.
I was making sure I wasn't remembering that wrong, because like I have this very specific vision of her like hand springing off like the wall of something and doing like a full back handspring and mm-hmm.
yeah, she was. Live and it's I also remember she was very you couldn't get a beat on her. They would ask her questions and she would constantly reply with some like glib rhyme or something or some fucking she dodges the truth. She's it's like fucking tangling with Tom Bombadil out here.
They're both playing 4D chess. I mean yeah. Snape's got a bunch of hidden motivations on top of hidden yeah. motivations. So does she apparently
also yeah, geez, I don't know. Snape has that intimidation factor. I just don't know mm-hmm. if it would work on Miss Frizzle. I feel like she's got a screw loose or something. Maybe she's not even human. Maybe she doesn't understand knowledge in the way we do.
Yeah.
She's like a djinn or something.
She's like a weird, yeah, she seems to be like some sort of weird science being.
Yeah, like, some kind of sprite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A nymph, if you will.
A nymph, if you will. Oh, my nymph. God. And who the fuck is more prepared to disperse with a science nymph, who would know about this? The professor of the protection from the dark arts, fucking Severus Snape knows how to deal with a rampant nymph.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like Snape was potions for most of it, right? And then he was dark arts towards the end. So man. Like, does he have a potion that he can like fuck up Miss Frizzle with?
Or he could like trick her. He could be like, I've got a potion that I think you won't be able to find any science in, Miss Frizzle. And then she's like, haha, I can tell the truth behind any potion. And like tricks her into shrinking down and going in the potion.
Looks
and then
at the
it's
molecular
like a time,
level of
it's like
potion.
A time stasis potion or something. And she's just frozen in there. And then he like smashes the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess who is more shocked by the other's world, like in the like I feel like the magic school bus implies that there's magic and she's aware of it. Where like Snape, if you were like, this is an equation, he'd be like, what the fuck is an equation? Like if you showed him the table or the periodic elements, he would be like, yeah. I don't have any. My thing is wands. Like green goes with red to make this purple drink, and that's what this potion is. Like I think science would make his head pop
I guess
off.
You're right. At the end of the day, he is a bit of an Amish. You know, he's a wizard. If you show him Twitter, his nose is gonna bleed.
I mean, speaking of Twitter, have we considered that Snape is canceled?
Snape
is canceled, guys.
Why is Snape canceled?
Well, because J.K. Rowling is canceled. Oh, yeah. Ipso facto.
I have all Harry Potter words muted.
That's a genius idea.
Jordan, your girlfriend told me to mute all the astrological signs.
She's got me on that too.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could do that on Tinder. That would be great if I could just mute all astrological signs. Yeah. Or if the first picture is of a girl with a horse. Just don't show it to me because I'm swiping left. Yeah, if I can mute horses and astrological signs, get me out of here.
I got this chip in my brain that makes all horses look like Bob Seger. Anyway, I'm dating Bob Seger.
this picture of this girl, she's brushing Bob Seger. It looks really nice. Brushing his big beard.
But then the only time when you actually do meet Bob Seger, you're like, a horse. Okay. That's the end of that. I think you're right. And I think science would blow his mind. I could see Miss Frizzle tricking Snape or even just being like, follow me to know knowledge. You've never esoteric knowledge or whatever. And then they have a fight on the back of the magic school bus as it whizzes through all time and knowledge and just makes Snape's head explode. But also, I think he just has the wickedness and I think he's got something in his back pocket and he's going to fucking try to get her to like solve this potion or like, do you know what a boggart is, Miss Frizzle? And I think he's got the wickedness. He's got too much Magneto in him. I got to give it to Snape.
I just think too, like, even if she does something that he maybe doesn't understand, he's probably seen it before, right? Yeah, like if she just like shrinks, he'll be like, well, I've seen people shrink before, sure. You know, or
yeah,
whatever.
I guess he doesn't have to know the why.
If she shows him like a Samsung curve TV, he'll just be like, I've seen demons crawl out of mirrors. You think this toy makes me scared?
Yeah, a TV with the motion tracking turned off or whatever, you know, turned on is not going to freak him out that much.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. Like, and I just like, you know, we've talked a lot about kind of characters having like hidden darknesses and stuff. And I just don't feel like Miss Frizzle has one. Like,
she
I feel like Miss Frizzle
all.
Is just sweet and kind. And she just would try to find a way of like getting out of the fight rather than like trying to win it is kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
I could see it being like the type of thing where he like hurls some kind of like witch bottle at her and she like sidesteps it and it's like, actually witch bottles were a superstition made of this and this, and like explains the reality behind like ergot poisoning or something to where like people hallucinated in the Middle Ages and that's what magic was. I could see it going that way too.
Yeah.
Like I could see her like using science to pick apart the esoterica of it.
He just also has a wand. So I feel like he can attack from distance too, you know, like he could just be like, fuck you. Like, and he also was, even though, you know, we learn spoiler alert, we learned by the end that he was only a Death Eater to like infiltrate Voldemort's, but you know, he knows Avada Kedavra. Like
you
would
does.
Think
he
that like
to,
Frizzle would just be like, oh my God. You know what? This is so crazy. Have you ever been inside of a cell? And he'd be like, shut up. You're fucking
die, I guess.
Dead now.
She tries to hit him with a bus.
Yeah, exactly. Like, shut up.
I got to tell you, I think I'm flipping over to Miss Frizzle here because I feel like she could be like, oh, let me show you how a gun works, and then shoot a bus through his head at like 20 yards or something, a bus shaped bullet or something.
Yeah,
does a bullet kill a wizard?
I don't think it does.
I can't remember, but I feel
does
like
a bus?
All right, let's do it. Let's vote. John, who are you thinking?
I'm voting for Snape. I don't even think it's close. I think not Snape. I think Snape annihilates her. I don't think
Snape by a landslide.
She's not ready. She's not ready for this. This isn't her domain. She's not. This isn't something she's familiar with. If it was like, you know, like we said, maybe a kind of like an orgy / gangbang situation. I think Miss Frizzle. That's something, you know, and that's not, I'm not saying that to be sexist. I just believe that to be true. I think that that's what she's into.
She has a real free love vibe.
Yeah. And that's it, which is great. And I love that about her.
She'd have a lot to say about all of the fluids and things.
Yeah.
And
but she just not, there's no fight in her, you know, she doesn't want that.
Yeah. I do agree with you that, and Sam, I'm gonna go ahead and vote and make you decide it if that's okay.
Let's do it.
I do agree with you that this is not her world, and I think that I could see Snape saying something cool like your science means nothing here, you know,
yeah,
and like fucking, you know, making her skeleton jump out of her body or whatever. But I just think it doesn't matter to her. I don't think you can shake the frizz. I don't think you can scare her in that fashion. And I think she's going to be able to apply a thick layer of fucking, she is like on a level. I think this is science. I think it should be called the science school bus, but she's from like fucking parallel dimension, 3004, 1,000 years in the future. Mm-hmm. This is science working at its absolute peak level. It's indistinguishable from magic. And I think she's figured it out and removed the superstition from it. And I think Frizzle takes it.
Man, it's really tempting to go with Frizzle because I think she like has mapped out a bunch of possibilities, and she's like more,
I
feel like she's more like mentally flexible and can like maybe set traps or something. And Snape is kind of,
she's a doubt walker.
Yeah,
man.
But man, Snape is singularly focused. He's driven by hatred and jealousy and sadness.
He is a wicked.
And
man.
I think that wins the fight. I'm the guy to give it to Snape.
All right. Okay, ding, ding, ding.
I think Professor it's close. Snape. I think it's close.
Takes it. Yeah, fuck. You're right. He's just got that face. He's got the face.
I think Voldemort is the most evil person in the history of the world. And Snape was like a spy in his organization for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And like you say, Sam, fueled by his love for Lily Potter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's dedication. Yeah, and he also dies for the cause. Like in this situation, he's ready to fucking go. He doesn't.
Yeah,
give
what
a
the
shit.
Fuck? What the fuck does Miss Frizzle? What is her cause?
Nothing.
Education?
Dumb kids.
Good vibes.
Kids.
Driven by fucking viewers like me. Come on.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah, the free tote bag. She's driven by free tote bags.
Ding, ding, ding. All right. Snape takes it in the battle of educators. Yeah, and honestly, yeah. And you know what I think happens? I think after he defeats her, he like walks over to the bus and like places his hand on it. He's like, shh, you work for me now. And then they like drive off together in the bus, you know?
Yeah. Or he has like some cool, like he looks at the bus and he's like, this isn't magic, you know, or something like that.
And it just,
I'll
and the
show
bus
you
like
magic.
Sheds a tear and dissipates like fucking at the end of Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not magic. John, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was a great time.
Of course. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can follow me on Twitter at Cullen the Comic. I just put out my second comedy album called Long Stories for No Reason. So you can check that out. And then we brought up my podcast earlier. It's called Blocked Party. Myself and Stefan Heck have a guest on every week to talk about a time they got blocked on social media. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. You can follow us at Blocked Party Pod. And I have kind of a niche podcast that's a lot of fun called the POD Cast with myself and Brian Quinby, where we review a classic nu metal album every month. So, it's a real fun time. And if you are into that genre, I guarantee you'll like it. It's really fun. And that's at the POD _cast on Twitter. And we spell cast with a K like the band Korn.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That feels like the type of thing where you think of that name and you're like, well, we can't not do this.
Correct. Literally what happened was me and a buddy who's a musician here in Vancouver, Kevy, and he actually is a producer too. He produced my comedy album. Him and I came up with the name on an episode episode of my previous podcast, and we were like, this is so funny. And we kind of like joked about doing it for a while, but it never really came together. And then Kevy did like a different project and whatever. And then I sat on the name for like a year. And then Brian, he's on Street Fight Radio, pretty well-known podcast. And he came on Blocked Party, and we talked about nu metal for like 30 minutes. Like, we just ignored Blocked Party, and we just like talked. Stefan was sitting there like, what the fuck is happening right now? And then I messaged him, and I was like, dude, I've wanted to do a nu metal podcast for a couple years. And he's like, absolutely, let's do it. So yeah, it's awesome. it's really fun. And he's like, it's so cool too, because he's like 7 years older than me. So he like actually grew up in it. Like, he saw Korn play clubs when their first album was out. He went to Woodstock 99.
Woodstock 99.
Yeah, he was survived. There. You know, he survived. Yeah. So it's just like, so he has all these insane stories, and I was just like a kid when that music was coming out. So we come at it from different places, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. We have
check it out, y'all. The POD cast with a K. That rules. Sam, where do you live on the internet?
As always, at Vote Sam Wiles. And subscribe to our Patreon. We put out fun episodes, and this month has been good. We've done a ton of Halloween stuff. And then, as usual, check out my stand-up album that came out a couple months ago. It's called Regular Guy Out of Hell, and it's on Spotify and stuff.
Hell yeah. And I am Razor Lou everywhere that they let me be. And I am on twitch.tv/RazorLou. Come check me out. Watch me play video games and scare the hell out of myself. Until next month, which is Bigfoot November, we're going to be playing Bigfoot the video game, which just came out on Steam. It looks insane. On that note, I think that does it for this week's episode of Fight Island. Why don't you count us down there, Sam?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.
It's like a way to block shots. That's way to let my lyrics annoy. If you're holding up the wall and you're missing the...